You're listening to The Takeaway from Public Radio International and WNYC in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Mitt Romney has now made history twice in New Hampshire. In 2008, he was the first candidate from Massachusetts ever to lose in the Granite State. Yesterday, Romney became the first non-incumbent Republican candidate to win both Iowa and New Hampshire. But New Hampshire is friendly territory for the man who once led the neighboring state of Massachusetts and now owns a second home on the banks of Lake Winnipesaukee. The people of the Granite State are also more open to Romney's mostly moderate political record. None of that will be true in the next primary. Mitt Romney is now headed for South Carolina, the heart of the Bible Belt. And the former Massachusetts governor is still lacking an overwhelming amount of support from social conservatives in the GOP base. Evangelical leaders will meet this weekend in Texas to talk about a strategy as this presidential race goes forward. But first, let's talk with our Washington correspondent again, Todd Zwillick. Good morning.
Morning, Celeste.
So Mitt Romney is calling this a historic win, and it is, but it doesn't give him quite the momentum that he really needed.
Well, it doesn't because of Mitt Romney's fundamental weaknesses, and maybe it's a little bit tough on Mitt Romney to be talking about all his fundamental weaknesses after such a handy victory in New Hampshire, but they exist there. We've already talked about the moderates where Mitt Romney did not manage to win them in New Hampshire, but you're talking about a much different group of voters who are not strong in New Hampshire, but they are in South Carolina, certainly in Florida and other places. Evangelicals, Christian conservatives, social conservatives, call them what you want. They're all sort of different shades of similar voters in many ways. And remember in Iowa, where social conservatives and Christian voters are very important, Mitt Romney only eked out basically a tie, an 8-vote win. So now he heads down to South Carolina with a fundamental weakness. And I don't want to just give you a little bit of something anecdotal, Celeste. This is not scientific. I was doing a little hosting on an evening show yesterday on the radio, afternoon evening show, at taking calls from Republican voters. Must have taken 40 calls from people who vote Republican. And the question was, are you a conservative? Are you excited about Mitt Romney? Can you back him? Do you know how many of those, about 40 calls that I took, people who said, yes, I'm behind Romney. He's the man because I support him. I love Mitt Romney. Two
out of 40.
Two. Even some who said they would vote for him, they would hold their nose and vote for him. Some said, I want Obama out. Some said, I'm a Republican, but I don't want to vote for Romney. Oh, my God. And a couple, Celeste, a couple of evangelical voters from Tennessee and others said they cannot vote for Mitt Romney. Not will not, but cannot, because he's a Mormon and because he's a moderate. They said cannot.
Well, let me just play you. This is a campaign ad blasting Mitt Romney that's airing right now in South Carolina, paid for by Newt Gingrich.
What happened after Massachusetts moderate Mitt Romney changed his position from pro-abortion to pro-life? He governed pro-abortion. Romney appointed a pro-abortion judge, expanded access to abortion pills, put Planned Parenthood on a state medical board, but failed to put a pro-life group on the same board. Massachusetts moderate Mitt Romney, he can't be trusted.
I'm Newt Gingrich, and I approve this message.
So, Todd Zwillick, is this the kind of message that actually appeals to voters, speaks to voters in South Carolina?
Newt Gingrich sure thinks it does, and that wasn't a super PAC ad. That was, I'm Newt Gingrich, and I approve this message. Four square behind an ad like that. You mentioned the meeting in Texas going on Friday and Saturday with some of the heaviest hitters in social conservative Christian voter politics in this country to find a strategy. Either try to coalesce behind another candidate and knock Mitt Romney off, whether that's Rick Santorum or Rick Perry. That seems increasingly unlikely. Or, plan B, find a way to get their voters behind Mitt Romney in a way that helps oppose the person they really want out, which is Barack Obama, but they might need something from Mitt Romney. They might need a credible VP candidate. They might need a platform that suits them more. It's unclear at this point. They're divided. Some of them support Santorum. Some of them support Gingrich. A few of them support Perry. We've already heard that.
Well, let's hear directly from this. Todd Zwillick, our Washington correspondent. With us is Tom McCluskey, who's a senior vice president for FRC Action, which is the lobbying arm of the Family Research Council. Tom, you will be at this meeting in Texas?
I will not, but my boss will.
Okay, so is Todd correct? Is the strategy here to either find one candidate that evangelicals can get behind or find a strategy that will make Mitt Romney workable?
I do think it's the second one in trying to find something, if not make Mitt Romney workable, at least something that will excite the base to get them out. Because he did hit the one thing that, regardless of who the candidate is, I think everybody's agreeing on the conservative side, on the Republican side, that we need a new president in there.
All right. Also with us is Dr. Richard Land, president of the Southern Baptist Convention's Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission. So, Richard, do evangelicals need to pick a candidate? Should they all be voting as a block? Is that necessary?
Well, if you want to be effective, you need to concentrate your forces. If you looked at the Iowa caucuses, if you took the votes of Gingrich, the votes of Perry, and the votes of Bachman, and the votes of Santorum, and you put them together, they would have doubled the vote that Romney got in Iowa. But since they were divided among four candidates, you had Santorum tying Romney, and then you had Gingrich at 14%, and Perry at 14%, and Bachman at 6%. So you're going to see, you know, New Hampshire, it wasn't that much of an issue because there aren't that many evangelicals. But in South Carolina, it's a huge issue. I mean, South Carolina is one of the most evangelical states in the country. And if evangelicals got behind one candidate, he would be awfully difficult to beat in South Carolina.
Well, let me ask you, Richard, what is the issues for an evangelical voter? What's the biggest problem with Mitt Romney? Is it his Mormon faith?
I think for a majority of evangelicals, it is the fact that he's not Mormon enough. That if he had consistently during his political career, if he had had the position on the sanctity of life and on same-sex marriage that his faith has, there would be fewer doubts about whether he's really a social conservative. Now, for a minority of evangelicals, his Mormon faith is an issue, and there is a group that does not want to vote for him, a percentage that doesn't want to vote for him, and an even smaller group that will not vote for him, even against Obama. But, you know, you take perhaps his most vocal evangelical critic, Dr. Robert Jeffers, who you know, called Mormonism a cult and said you should vote for a Christian, not a member of a cult. He said, look, if it comes down to Obama versus Romney, I'm voting for Romney.
That's Dr. Richard Land, who's president of the Southern Baptist Convention's Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission, and also with us Tom McCluskey, who's senior vice president for the Family Research Council Action. So, Tom, at this meeting on over the weekend in Texas, is there that much of a divide among the evangelical voters? As you heard Richard describing, will it be possible to coalesce around Mitt Romney if he's the nominee and perhaps get a vice presidential candidate that it could be more acceptable?
I think that's more of a possibility than them coalescing around a certain candidate. Because as Richard pointed out, I mean, social conservatives had some great candidates that were running this time around, which is great. But at the same time, it did divide the vote. And by now, I think it's a little too late for them to coalesce behind one candidate to perhaps beat Mitt Romney, if that were a goal or so or not.
But can you get the message to them that, I mean, do you feel that they're mostly united, that if it were Romney versus Obama, they would vote for Romney?
Without a doubt. And I do think it's a matter of we've got to become united, and hopefully Texas will help with that. Because as Richard pointed out, it's a very huge voting block. You can win or lose with the evangelical or Catholic vote, Christian vote. It's a very huge voting block, and Mitt Romney's got to recognize that, and there's got to be some give and take. The platform was mentioned before. If the platform stayed the same as John McCain had it, it was a very solid platform.
Yeah.
I think we need something even more solid, be it personnel and vice presidential picks.
Richard, though, there is concern, though, that because of this divide among the evangelical vote, that many of them will simply stay home.
Well, they won't stay home. Do not underestimate Barack Obama's unique ability to rally and focus social conservatives and evangelicals for his opponent.
So we won't see low turnout in South Carolina?
No, and you won't see a low turnout in the general election. They're following the William F. Buckley dictum, named after the late William F. Buckley, Jr. They're going to be for the most conservative candidate who can get elected.
That's Dr. Richard Land, president of the Southern Baptist Convention's Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission. Also spoke with Tom McCluskey, senior vice president for FRC Action, the lobbying arm of the Family Research Council, and earlier Todd Zwillick, our Washington correspondent. Thanks to both of you.
So what gets people to call radio stations and give their opinion? Two words for you, Ron Paul.
Jay from Rockland County. Ron Paul is really popular with young people because he's telling the truth about the war on terror. Ever since he did so on that first debate, these wars are all a way of stovepiping money away from the public to make a few people at the top extremely wealthy.
This is Chloe in Miami Beach. The supporters of Ron Paul, the young people, should understand it's the military-industrial complex that has been dictating our wars and our foreign policy, but the United States should not become isolationist.
What's your view? Call 877-8-MY-TAKE. I'm John Hockenberry.
And I'm Celeste Headlee. This is The Takeaway.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.